Welcome to the Queer Confidence Podcast, the podcast to help you become your most confident queer self. I'm your host, he, she, they, Coach Alex Ray, and I haven't always been this confident. In fact, I used to be super insecure. And through this show, I want to share with you what's worked for me, my clients, and my guests so that you can become more confident. Hello, unicorns. Today, I have for you an episode on how to be yourself. Yes, that's right. I'm going to tell you how to be yourself, but not how to be yourself. But yes, how to... You know the difference, right? All right. We're going to talk about the three main things that keep you from being yourself, and then a little bit about a little simple process that you can catch yourself with and keep becoming more of yourself. And the reason I wanted to do this episode is because I think that be yourself is one of the most overused phrases in like the inspirational or self-help realm, right? And if being yourself was really that easy, then we'd all be doing it. But just be yourself really doesn't cut it. It is terrifying most of the time to be yourself. And the more confident you are, the easier it's going to be. I promise you. I have a pretty damn easy time now being myself. But it was not always like this. And what pretty much all of my clients come to me with is they are in a place where they're struggling to be themselves. So I want you to know that, one, I have been there with you. Two, I know many others who have also been in your shoes. And three, just stop using that phrase against yourself, right? Stop taking that phrase, just be yourself, and using it to start shaming yourself about how you're not finding it easy yet. I want you to find comfort in knowing that you are totally not alone there. And it is a little bit ridiculous to just put up on a poster, just be yourself, because for most of the world's population, they're not there yet. They're not ready to. So let's dive in and start working on how to be you. The first reason that we don't act like ourselves, that we aren't being ourselves, is because you are using culture or a people group that you belong to tell yourself you're doing it wrong. I was coaching a client recently on polyamory, and she wanted to make sure she was following the right way. And it was causing her a lot of frustrations within her relationship because she wanted what's called a kitchen table polyamorous relationship where everyone is involved in each other's lives, maybe not sexually and maybe not romantically, but at least everyone knows each other. All the partners know each other. And what her partner was engaging in was not that. And she was telling herself, well, all of the info out there, all of like the Instagram accounts on polyamory are saying like, let go of everything. You should be able to just be totally free and have no expectations for your partner. And let them have ultimate autonomy, and you have ultimate autonomy. And so what happened was she was using this group that she identifies with and their kind of rules against herself. Isn't it funny when we think about that, that like the whole point of being totally yourself is to adhere to less of the other people's expectations. and to have more autonomy. And what I said to her was, wait a minute. You are taking away your own autonomy by telling yourself you should want something that you don't want. What? It is okay to want to be polyamorous your way. It is okay to want to do life your own way. Just because the group majority is saying, oh, here are our standards for being part of our group, does not actually mean you need to meet those standards to be part of the group. Also, like, how ridiculous is that too, within the LGBTQIA+ community especially, where we are preaching, hey, be more of yourself, that we also then say, yeah, but not that way. Be more yourself, but not that way. Follow these rules for being yourself. What a contradiction. You can't simultaneously be following the rules and be totally yourself. So, let go and find your rules. Yes, it's going to be scary because your brain likes to let other people create rules. And I've found two main reasons why your brain likes to do that. The first is that if you let other people create the rules, then you can meet their expectations. And for your brain, it feels less like a risk of failing. But what you haven't done when you are waiting for other people to go and create the rules and then just meeting those expectations is you have secretly allowed your brain to keep the thought that they know how to do life right and you do not. The second reason is so your brain can do this sneaky thing where if it doesn't work out, you can blame them if you don't get the result you want in life, right? So if somebody else makes up the rules and you follow it and then your life does not work out to your enjoyment, you can say, oh, well, it is their fault because they made the rules. I don't have to take responsibility. I was following their rules and it sucks, this life that I got, right? And the only reason that your brain wants to do that is because you're used to shaming yourself when things don't work out. If you weren't in a pattern of shaming yourself when things didn't work out, then you'd be all right with taking responsibility for what came out of you following those rules. And you'd go, I get that these are their rules, but I don't really like what I get out of life when I follow these. So, your first little tip here is let it be scary, right? Just like our tip for becoming confident, be willing to be uncomfortable. Let this be uncomfortable. You deciding from what you enjoy and creating your life rules that way is going to allow you to have so much more freedom. Now, what about if you don't know yet? What if you don't know what your rules for life are, right? Guess how you make them? The exact same way the other people made their rules for life. I love this example of polyamory, right? Other people in the polyamorous community decided that these things worked really well for them. And then they preached them over and over and over and over. And then many other people found that they work for them too. And many people found that they didn't work well for them, that they actually wanted to do it a different way that worked better for them. Now, you can either try to force your brain into finding enjoyment in doing it someone else's way, or you can look at it like, hey, if they invented this by having experiences and finding what they want and what they didn't want and then developing, hey, this is the way to do it. You know that they didn't find the way to do it without having experiences first. That's how any kinds of rules and regulations and societal norms are found, because people had experiences and they said, hey, this ends up working out pretty well for me. This other thing isn't working out so well for me. That's it. So, permission granted to find your rules through trial and error, to find your way to live through trial and error, to find how to be you through trial and error. Okay. The second reason why it's hard for you to be yourself is you use the rules like rules maybe these are in a program that you've signed up for, like coaching. Maybe these are the rules at work. Maybe these are rules that you've learned about how to run a business, and so you're following those rules. Whatever rules you picked up, you use those rules to tell yourself you're doing it wrong. So I was coaching another client who had been following a program, and he didn't love the program. And as a result, over the past several months, he had stopped effectively signing new clients in his business. And as we talked through it, we realized the only reason he had stopped signing new clients in his business is because he had decided, okay, I'm going to focus on following the rules of this program that I set up or signed up for and do it exactly their way. I'm going to run my business the way they tell me to, even though I don't like this way, and I don't think it's in favor to my clients. And I said, what? What are we doing? We need to stop that. Go back to running it the way that you had fun with, the way that was enjoyable for you, and the way that felt like it was an integrity to serving your clients. I want you to think about if you were committed to driving from Maryland, that's where I live, so I'm just choosing that, okay? I'm on the East Coast. If you're driving from Maryland to California on the West Coast, right? Are you committing to getting from Maryland to California, or are you committing to the highway? Now, both can get you there, right? You could commit, I don't know off the top of my head what highway that is that goes from east to west all the way. I think there is one though. But are you committing to that exact highway? Because what might happen is you might run into some road work. You might run into some traffic jams. You might run into, I don't know, horrible, ugly scenes that like are just aren't enjoyable, but you're driving on them anyway. You could commit exactly to the rules, to the process that somebody else has developed, that this highway is the right way and I am going to tough it out till I get there. Okay, could work. You could also commit to, I'm going to get to California. I'm committed to the destination. And if I encounter road work, no problem. There are other roads. There are backways. The GPS can help me find a way around. The GPS is your intuition, and I have a great episode coming out next week on your intuition, so listen to that one. Okay, but your GPS, right, it can find another way around. You could also be driving on a long stretch of road that is just, ugh, so draining, and you're like, This is not what I want my experience to be driving across the country. You could choose a different highway with a better view. You could run into traffic and there might be a nice little cut around. Okay. My point is, between the two experiences, one of them, you are forcing yourself into a system. The other one, you are committed solely to the end result, and you're willing to do it your own way, to be adjustable and flexible along the journey. Both will get you there, my friend. But what if you decided that following the rules and the exact process was not nearly as important as getting the result that you wanted to get? What? I tell my clients all the time, hey, I might tell you a process and you might freaking hate it. Speak up. Because we are unattached to the exact method and we are fully committed to getting you the exact result you came here for. Rules, again, make it easy to blame someone else or the road or the GPS. It's totally useless, though. Like, if you're sitting here blaming or finding fault in the road or the GPS that got you on that road or the other people that are on the road and creating traffic for you or the city that decided to do some road work, like, what if you're just like, it's okay, it's totally fine. I'm going to keep going on this journey. I'm going to not blame or shame myself for choosing this way. I thought it might work and turned out it didn't. Just take the next detour. And I'm not going to get angry and start blaming all the other drivers for being on the road or the city for doing the construction, because also not an effective use of my energy. I'm going to just keep going around it. And I will get to my destination. Your best way can be found through your experience and through your intuition, your GPS. All right, so good. Ready for the third one? Here's the third reason why you aren't being yourself. It's because you are using loved ones like friends, family, or your parents to tell yourself that you're doing it wrong. You're not being yourself in order to remain on good terms with them. So you're people-pleasing. Look, I'm going to give you an example from my own life of how I found that I was doing this recently. My parents don't like uber celebrate me for who I am. Now, I'm not dragging them through the mud here. This is just a fact that right now, where they are in life, they don't uber celebrate me for exactly just who I am. Okay? And I was finding that I was actually a little nervous that I might say something online or I might dress in a certain way that might be uncomfortable for them. And I was allowing that to be just a reoccurring thought in my head. Now, I wasn't super aware of it, that I was really trying to please them. But I was like, why is it so hard? And every now and then I would think, like, I would be thinking about what I was going to wear or something or a photo that I was going to post on Instagram. And the thought might pop into my head for half a second of like, I don't think my parents would like this, right? Or I'd be going over to their house dressed a certain way and think, oh, I think this, they might be like awkward around this. Okay. It didn't seem significant. And what I want you to know is that sometimes it might not seem significant for you either, but you might still be trying to remain on the best of terms. You might still be people pleasing by not being fully yourself around certain people. And even if you don't think that this is significant right now, even if you think, okay, well, I can get through it. I can tough it out. I want to offer to you that if you're willing, the faster way would be to put some boundaries in place. And I had put some boundaries in place with my parents and had not been really communicating with them for about a month. And I blocked them on social media. We just needed a little break for some personal things. And I am here to tell you that during that month, the way that I started showing up in all areas of my life was totally 1,000% more me. I didn't even realize that I had really actually been holding back quite a bit in order to not make them uncomfortable. We are talking again. Things are good between us. I'm pleased with the direction our relationship is going and the new way in which we are relating to each other. And it was very helpful to have some time away and off. And so what I want to offer to you is that in your relationships where you feel a little embarrassed or a little uneasy to be fully yourself, it can be totally acceptable and even admirable to put up some boundaries, to redefine the relationship in order to be more yourself. Now, if you're telling yourself that's so selfish, I want to ask you, would you really, if the other party in your relationship, the other person or persons that you're thinking of, did not feel they could be 100% themselves around you, would you want them to speak up about it? Hell yeah. You'd want to know. You'd want to know what you could do to help them or create space for them to be 100% themselves. And boundaries are not always a no. They're not always like, if this thing that you do is not something I welcome into my kingdom. So if this behavior continues, I will not be in relationship with you, or I may take a break from talking with you, or I may take some time away. Boundaries are often like that, right? They're often, here's what I require in order to be in relationship with me. And if you can't meet these things, then I can't be in relationship with you. Careful on that point, right? Remember that boundaries are not rules for other people and what they're allowed to do. They are just rules for your kingdom, your life, and what you allow to take part or take place. That's the word. What you allow to take place within the walls of your kingdom. It is simply you setting up the life that you and experience that you want to have and saying, hey, I don't allow that kind of behavior in my sphere. You can keep doing whatever you want with your life, but you're going to do it not in my kingdom. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to partake in it. Okay. So boundaries are often a no, but they can also be yeses. Boundaries can be an ask. Boundaries can be, here's what I want to cultivate in my life. Boundaries can be, oh, I do want time with mom and dad. It is important for me. And I'm saying yes to seeing them once a week for an hour or two. Right? And that might feel a lot better than, oh, no more than 5 hours a week and no more than once a week. No, right? It can actually be, here's what I'm designing. Here's the relationship I'm actually cultivating with this other person. These are the yeses. This is what I want in my experience. Now, I hope you caught on to the pattern within all of these examples. Your brain in all of them, whether it's culture and groups saying here's the way to be, like it's a requirement for the identity, right? It's a play on your identity. If you have this identity, then here's the behavior you have to have. Whether it's rules and regulations, here's the right way to do things. Here's the process. Follow the process. Or if it's your loved ones who just create excessive discomfort for you right now, and that you see them uncomfortable, and it's reminding you that you've been uncomfortable with being yourself, and it's just a little more than your brain is willing to or able to process right now as you are going on this journey to be more yourself. In all of these examples, your brain is on hyper alert to find ways to prove your existing beliefs true. And your existing belief is my way of being is wrong. My way of being is wrong. And other people's way of being is right. Other people know how to do things in a more correct way than I know how to do. Those are the beliefs that your brain is trying to prove true, and it's looking for evidence, okay? Isn't it interesting that in these examples, none of the people on the other side actually told my clients or me how to behave? It was unspoken. It was through communication that was broadcasts. It was generalized communication. It was maybe just attitudes or looks from my parents, right? Maybe. And our brain, your brain, uses those things to go, oh, there's more evidence. I knew it. I'm doing it wrong. They gave me a funny look. It felt uncomfortable to be around them. I felt their energy. I must be doing it wrong. The posts on Instagram say that this is how it's supposed to look to be gay or trans or bi or polyamorous. These are the rules for that. I must not measure up to this identity. I should change how I do it. My way's wrong. These are the rules that were set up in this program, in my job, that my boss gave me. Oh, that's a funny one too. Bosses giving rules, you know that they care way more about the result that you get. That's what any business cares about, is the result that you get at the end. Not the how. They want a specific result. Who cares how you get there? Do you see it? Your brain is on hyper alert all the time for evidence to prove that you can keep on thinking, yep, your way is the wrong way, and other people know better. Find where you are setting up rules or expectations for yourself. What do you need to let go of? And what things in your life do you actually like, but you have some judgments about? I used to have judgments about liking drama. It was like, no, I don't like drama. I don't like drama. I don't like drama. Why do I keep finding myself in dramatic relationships? I had to release the judgment from the drama, or my judgment about drama, in order to admit, oh, I like a thrill. That's what it is. I had a client who found that she liked feeling jealous. So that's so interesting. You keep getting jealous. Yeah, I don't like it. Really? Why do you keep doing it? Oh, might kind of like it. And when we talked about it, when we got down to it, turns out that subconsciously she does like to feel jealous. because it created a connection that was sort of serving and feeding her in a way. But maybe for myself, for her, for you, you don't like the experience it's giving you anymore. That's okay. You could change how you do it then. For me, in relationships now, I love to go find thrills that are like adventure, skydiving, camping, something like that. Although I've never been camping in a relationship, but you better look out, Mr. Man. My future husband is going to have to be okay backpacking or something with me. Learning to surf. I don't know. Let's go on some adventures together. Let's create some thrills together, right? If you let go of some of these regulations and rules you've created for yourself that maybe you even think are societally based, whatever, doesn't matter where they came from, you've got these judgments about things that you actually genuinely do like and that you're actually attracted to, and you keep telling yourself you're not supposed to be attracted to it or not supposed to like it, and so you never get to the bottom of what's really going on. What if you just dropped that judgment and said, okay, you do like it, and you might want to have that experience in a different way? Or you might enjoy that experience flat out, plain and simple. You enjoy it. And all of this trying to meet other kinds of rules about that thing and the shoulds are just so much wasted brain power for you. So I've got 5 quick steps for you on how to be yourself. First, observe where you are not being yourself right now. Observe where you are not being yourself. Find where you are trying to meet rules or expectations of other people, or even rules you've set for yourself. Just be aware of them first. You don't need to change them yet, just aware. Decide that you know your best way for your own most desired life experience. And so do other people. They know for their experience. Then do your way. Test it out. Step 4, have your own back. Instead of shame, which reinforces your way is wrong, right? That thought, I'm doing it wrong. I do life wrong. I don't know the right way. Other people know the right way. Instead of that shame, which reinforces that thought, ask, how is this experience helpful for you? Right? If you've tested it out and it didn't work out the way you wanted it to, how is it still helpful for you? All of our experiences teach us more of what we want and more of what we don't want. If you look to learn from it, if you decide that every experience you have is useful, you will always be able to find evidence for that. And the last step, trust that you will always create useful experiences. You will always create useful experiences, no matter whose rules you're following. Or not following the lack of rules. Okay, so again, those 5 steps. Observe where you are not being yourself. Decide, step 2, decide that you know your best way for your own most desired life experience. 3, test out your way. 4, have your own back and don't shame yourself no matter the result. And 5, trust that you'll always create useful experiences. All right, my friend, if you want to take this work deeper, sign up for coaching and become a confident queer. I can't wait to work with you. See ya.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a friend so they too can become more confident. You can also help more people find the show by leaving a 5-star review wherever you listen. And if you want to become a more confident queer with support from yours truly, head to coachalexray.com or use the link down in the show notes. I'm looking forward to working with you.